On today's episode of 23's The Mic, we are introducing a new segment called 23's The Take, where I invite two guests on the show and we debate what's going on in the sports world. On today's episode, we preview the NBA Finals. All right, welcome to 23's The Mic. This is a new thing that we're doing. We're doing an NBA Finals preview, kind of debate style. I'm joined by 23's The Mic NBA experts, the Usman Mahmoud and Inzane Kazi. You can find Zane Kazi on Instagram at Inzane Kazi and on Twitter. And you can find Usman at Irvin_Usman on Instagram and Biryani Thoughts on Twitter, I think. Is that correct?
That's right.
So my guys are here. We're going to just talk about some of the NBA and preview the finals and talk about the bubble and how it's been so far. So first question, guys. I mean, everyone's predicting the Lakers to win this series. The team's pretty much stacked against the Heat. And the question I have first is, what needs to happen for the Heat to have a chance in this series? And let's start with Usman.
I was actually thinking about this like yesterday because I think a lot of people are just looking at LeBron and AD and they're thinking, oh, it's a wrap. But if you look at the Heat, they actually match up extremely well with the Lakers because they have three wings to throw at LeBron, particularly Jimmy and Iguodala. And obviously Iggy's had success against LeBron in the past. And then I think Bam will give AD some trouble. Obviously, he's not going to stop AD. Nobody can actually stop AD except AD. But, I mean, Bam is definitely athletic enough to give AD some problems. But I think ultimately what needs to happen for them to win is, like Goran's been averaging about 20. I think that Jimmy Butler and Bam would also have to average somewhere around – one of them at least needs to average 25 for this series for it to go to like to distance. I personally just don't think it's going to happen because I just don't think that LeBron James will let the tempo of the game like out of his hands. But if you were asking me what needs to happen, I would say Bam needs to score 20 with 12 boards and 2 blocks, and Jimmy needs to be around 25, and Dragic just needs to continue to average 20 like he has been throughout the playoffs. I just don't think that'll be the case.
Zane, you have anything to add?
Yeah, before I get into that, I just really quickly want to drop in. Being from Seattle, just want to say Russell Wilson's the best quarterback in the NFL. And is the best player in the league.
That's definitely true.
Don't want to waste too much time on that because we want to do.
We can talk about that later.
I know Nadim sometimes hates on Russell Wilson on this pod. So as a Seattle
guy, Nadim will literally.
There is no hate that we have. We had Russell Wilson at number one last year. But going back to this thing for that rude interruption and the wild tangent. Let me hear your thoughts on what needs to happen for the Heat to win the series.
Okay. So I think a couple things for the Heat. I think one of the most important players on the Heat, the X factor, will be Bam. If Bam can turn the corner and make that superstar leap, he's playing like a star right now, but if he really makes that superstar leap, be able to match up well against Anthony Davis, I think he can really set the tone for the series if he can come out and do that early. When it comes to another thing that I think is in the Heat's favor is their depth. When you look at the Lakers outside of LeBron and AD, their depth is pretty lacking. Their options are just not there. So when you look at the Heat, they run pretty deep. You had Kendrick Nunn and Myers Leonard, who were both starters in the regular season, not even have much of a rotation in this playoffs. So that just tells you how deep they are. And Spo is a great coach, and he figures out the right matchups. And coming back to Spo again, I'm really curious to see if they'll break out the zone, because the zone could be effective against the Lakers. You have AD and LeBron, again, dominating the offense. And so if you do put him in a zone, force the shooters to make their shots, you could put the pressure on them. The only issue I do see with the zone is you do have Anthony Davis. And the best way to break the zone is you have the high post player. And there's literally no one better than Anthony Davis to fit that role.
We've seen like this entire playoffs, the Lakers have gone against teams that have really formidable three-point shooting. How much do you think that the Heat's three-point shooting is elevated from those other teams? And can that propel them to maybe not just one game, one victory when the Lakers are vulnerable, but maybe like two games out of the series and then put more pressure on LeBron and AD to perform?
The Heat, if you look at it statistically, they were honestly the best shooting team in the league. Obviously, it was the Rockets because of the sheer volume that they took. But if you just go by the amount of attempts versus makes, they were definitely the better shooting team. And I don't think the Lakers have actually seen a shooter like Duncan Robinson yet in the bubble. Duncan Robinson is wet. Like, dude is insanely good at making the shot. And I think he has the second fastest release from the three-point line outside of Klay Thompson, they said, last series. So, I mean, it will play a huge part. But the question you have to ask yourself is, are they going to be ready for this stage? Because let's not forget, Tyler Herro is only 20 years old. And I don't know, Duncan Robinson looks older than he probably is. How old is Duncan Robinson?
26.
Oh, wow. Okay. But yeah, going back to the zone that Zane was talking about, I think they definitely will break out the zone for the simple fact that Eric Spoelstra is just not going to let LeBron James drive to the basket. Bam will be in there waiting for him. Iggy will probably be in there. And whoever else is, you know, tasked with being on LeBron. Ultimately, they're going to make sure that the Lakers, or they're going to try to make sure that the Lakers have to shoot their way to a win. Because if they can do that, if they can make it so that the Lakers have to take like 25 to 30 shots from the three-point line every single game, they're going to lose.
Who do you guys think steps up for the Lakers as the third guy, the third best player in the series between Dwight Howard, Rondo, Kyle Kuzma? Who steps up in the series?
I think it's going to be a different person every game, kind of what we've seen throughout the playoffs. Like, you have Rondo stepping up, you have Dwight stepping up. Kuz has been cool, but Rondo has just been having an incredible playoffs. Just like, where is
Rondo?
This
is playoff
Rondo.
Playoff Rondo.
Yeah. I mean, arguably, Rondo has been the third best player for the Lakers in these playoffs. And he didn't play for much of the beginning of.
You could argue that for sure.
I would say that it's going to probably be a lot of Rondo, just because when it takes a lot of pressure off LeBron, because he doesn't have to be the ball handler the entire game, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, the connection that Rondo and AD seem to have with each other, when LeBron goes to the bench, is just insane. I mean, I see like at least two or three alley-oops a game off of, you know, just AD and LeBron, AD and Rondo, you know, just connecting. So I think Rondo will probably be the biggest. KCP, man, don't sleep on him. Like, I know we, like, a lot of people clown on him, but he's been pretty good for the most part. I mean, can you guys just, like, imagine if Avery Bradley was still on this team? Like, they'd be scary.
I don't know. I mean, it's that Kanye clip, right? I guess we'll never know.
Yeah. Speaking of, how about them Clippers, huh, Zane?
I guess we'll never know, but I still truly
miss me with that. Just
I still believe the Clips will take them.
Yeah. Okay.
In a seven game.
To wrap up the series, what do you guys have for what's your prediction for the series?
Man, I don't want to disrespect Jimmy. I'm gonna say a six game series, and I'm gonna say 4-2 Lakers.
Same here. I'm going 4-2 Lakers, but I don't know, man. The Heat. It could go a lot. Like, I would say 4-2 Lakers, but it could be a 4-0 sweep. It could go seven games. It all comes down to the adjustments the Heat make. Like, I think if I could really sum it down into just like 3 points of what the Heat need to do to get this dub, A, like I said, Bam is your X factor. He has to play like a superstar, and he has, and he's a great defender, so he has to do well.
He has to play like he did in Game 6 against Boston.
Yeah, he literally has to. Yeah, you have to be that superstar.
Yeah,
and I think the next biggest point is the defense they play on the Lakers. You have to, and more important. Less important than the defense is you have the pace that you make the Lakers play at. You have to slow the Lakers down.
Yes.
You cannot let them get in transition. You have to force them to play a half court, play in their half court offense, because they're a lot less effective in their half court offense than in transition.
All right, now we'll get to the juicy stuff. What does a finals win mean for LeBron James' legacy? Let's start with Usman, because he's the LeBron stan.
I am a big LeBron fan. But, you know, I don't really think it does much for his legacy. Like, you have to think about, like, what are we going towards, right? LeBron James is already being compared to Kareem, Jordan, Kobe. At the end of the day, the question you kind of have to ask yourself is, does this ring make the Jordan people start to think about moving over to the LeBron camp? Absolutely not. I don't think it will. Does this make LeBron etch closer to Jordan? Yeah, I guess. But being me myself being even the biggest LeBron fan, I can't even say that he would be ahead of Jordan after this win. Ultimately, I think it would help him help his overall overall career, having four rings and being 4-6 rather than 3-7, which would suck. Because losing would definitely hurt his legacy. Winning, I don't know how much it really moves the needle.
Okay, a follow-up to that. Do you think that the road to the championship this year, if he had a tougher road, maybe if he had to beat the Clippers,
that's what everybody wanted to see, right? The beauty of the NBA playoffs is that the better team always wins. There's no way a team is going to lose to you four times if they are not better.
So you think the Nuggets are actually better than the Clippers?
Absolutely. They were better coached. They were better coached. They were not.
Cap.
You can't blow a 19-point lead, a 16-point lead, and then a 12-point lead because you're the better team. That just doesn't happen. Even if you do have George Paul on the other end, the Saints' favorite player, by the way. The simple fact is that they were a matchup wise, they just didn't match up well against the Nuggets.
Okay,
Zane,
so
Zane, I'm right about that, right?
You're right, but let me.
Okay,
you're right. So
okay,
and,
good.
And everything sure. Everything else you said, technically in a normal playoffs is right. Usually the better team will win. You have to win four games out of seven. Like, it's not going to be a fluke four times. So in a normal playoff series, that's right. But we're not in normal series right now.
No. You can't do that because everybody's in those same circumstances.
I understand, but it affects different types of players in different ways. I mean, it favors shooters. It favors
Why was Lou Will so trash in the bubble?
Lou Will's not a shooter like Jamal Murray. Lou Will's a scorer, but he ain't.
Of course, he's not a Jamal Murray type
shooter. But what I'm saying is, players like Jamal Murray. Not to knock Jamal Murray, you of all people should know. I've been a fan of Jamal Murray for the past three years.
I know.
Love Jamal Murray, so this is not a knock on him. If anything, I was early to the Jamal Murray.
Yeah, you were. I did. Okay, I personally can say, I did not see this coming from Jamal Murray. Like, what I just witnessed from Jamal Murray in these playoffs, I don't think anybody saw it coming.
Yeah, I'd be lying.
I was averaging 16
during
the season.
Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I said I saw this. But at the same time, I think it was Mazza witness, I've been saying he's going to be a star one day. It just happened a lot earlier than I expected.
So for me, it's like, if you're that guy, right? If you're that person, you're the top three best players in the league, you don't get to use this as an excuse. Because if this happened to LeBron James, if he lost to the Nuggets in the second round of the playoffs, even though by the vast majority of the NBA media, he was no longer considered the best player in the league, Kawhi was, would he not get killed? I mean, listen, you know,
he would.
He would. And I'm not knocking that point. I'm not knocking that point. And I think both Kawhi and PG deserve the hate. They deserve to get killed just like LeBron would.
But you wouldn't make these excuses for LeBron either. Oh, it's the depth or this or that. You would just
All I was talking about is it might not necessarily be the better team winning. Because you're right, it's not an excuse. And I don't excuse the Clippers. It was embarrassing. I was involved on Twitter calling out Playoff P. And I love Paul George. So I was taking L's left and right because everyone knows I'm a Paul George fan. So I was graciously taking L's. All right, it was a tough time for me.
So that kind of segues into the next question that I had was how much of the play in the bubble do you kind of take into account going forward? Do you think like Jamal Murray is a superstar? Do you think Paul George is a not top 20 player? Do you think that Jimmy Butler should be ranked higher? How much of the past few months that we've seen in your mind resonates as something that's actually credible into taking into the future?
The players that excelled, I think, will do great for their confidence and will continue to take that stride forward in their career. This might have just accelerated it because the players that did step up, players like Jamal Murray, I think they were on a trajectory.
Yeah, they had it in them.
Yeah.
But what about like a guy like TJ Warren?
Well, TJ Warren's a scorer. Like right, even in the past.
But he only had like 4 games.
Yeah.
He had four games of like 40 plus points. Like you don't see that from anybody, right?
I feel like the
bubble enhanced that immensely.
Of course. But see, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was getting at. Like I think the players that you already kind of saw that star trajectory in will continue to do that. And certain players just benefit from the bubble and you might not see it as much. And that's a great example, the difference between Jamal Murray and TJ Warren. And you almost even saw it in the bubble itself, the consistency of Jamal Murray versus the consistency of TJ Warren.
And you saw it when they finally came up against the Heat and Jimmy Butler or Andre Iguodala were on him for most of the game. I mean, what did he do? He just kind of disappeared, right? Whereas Jamal Murray, man, like,
I can make the argument that Jamal Murray also disappeared in some of the earlier big moments. For example, Game 7 of the first round against the Utah Jazz when him and Donovan Mitchell are going at it. I remember that Game 6 was amazing to see them go back and forth. But then in that Game 7, he kind of faltered. And expounding on that, you have in the series with the Clippers even, Joker was the main focal point of the Nuggets. It wasn't like they were facilitating through Jamal Murray. They won those games because of Joker. So,
I mean, let's not get it twisted. Joker's the best player on that team.
Exactly.
It's not even close.
It's not close.
Like, Jamal Murray superstardom train, like, I think we should pump the brakes on that a little bit because I don't think he is a superstar right now.
No, not at all. No, I think going back to what I was saying, he was always on a trajectory to stardom, whether it's superstardom or an all-star caliber. I wasn't completely sure. I think all the bubble did was maybe accelerate that a little bit, show flashes of that a lot more, and give him the confidence to keep going on that trajectory. But yeah, he's not even close in the same realm as Joker right now.
No, Joker, man, Joker.
Joker's a top 10 player in the league.
Yeah, he's a top 10 player.
But
a really crazy stat about Jamal Murray, and I think I would agree with you. Game 7 against Utah, not so great. But Game 7 against the Clippers, extremely good. But a crazy stat about Jamal Murray in this bubble is that in the last 5 minutes of the game, he has the most points of any player in the bubble.
Since we're talking about LeBron, I didn't really have a chance to chime in on his legacy. He's going to stay third.
Well, I was surprised that Usman's take was so mild because the LeBron stands, at least in my ear, have been saying, oh, this win will put him over Jordan. I don't see that at all in any sense.
I've curbed a lot of Usman's crazy takes.
So. No, I never said he was better
you
than
Jordan. You could credit me for that. All the fans of 23's the
I
mic.
Never said he was better than MJ. But I do think that MJ is a legend. Is overblown because of media hype by a lot. Like, Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time. I'm not denying that, okay? But honestly, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has a very clear argument to be in that conversation.
Like, I agree.
It's 100%. It's not like some out of the blue thing. Oh my God, why would you say Kareem should be in this conversation?
It's not like how Mahomes is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson. Like, that's clear cut. Yeah, like, no
that's,
argument.
Yeah, that's clear cut cap. Mahomes is not better than Russell. You don't want to get into that.
Yeah, I'm not getting into that
with two
today.
Seattle guys. But, you want to take an L on your own podcast?
I don't need, there is no L that I will be taking in that circumstance. Like, we have never seen a quarterback start his career like Patrick Mahomes
has.
You're
such a fanboy, you know that? You just
you guys are talking about Shannon Sharp.
So basically what you're basically just repeating what Shannon Sharp and Nick Wright say on First Take and Uninterrupted.
I don't even watch Undisputed. It's Undisputed, not Uninterrupted. Yeah. That's a LeBron James podcast, Mr. LeBron stan.
It shows you how much of a LeBron fan he is. No, but I mean, if you want to briefly touch on that, like, yes, Mahomes is having a scorching start to the season, to his career.
His career.
Yeah, no one's denying that. But at the end of the day, like, Russ, what he's doing for a longer period of time, has proven it for a longer period of time, and currently right now continues to do with less. I think that's the biggest emphasis I want to put out there, in a system that doesn't give him the free reign.
Continues to do more of what he's been doing. He has hot starts every single year. He puts up gaudy numbers almost every single year. Now he has a number one receiver in DK Metcalf. Now he has a decent offensive line, and he's putting up great numbers. I get that. This isn't a knock on Russ at all.
Yeah,
he's a great quarterback. He is. You know, he's obviously, like, in my rankings, been one or two, like, all season for the past how many years, right?
Yeah.
Like, so it's not a knock on Russ at all.
It's not a knock on Mahomes.
Mahomes is doing things that we have never seen. Sure, he has a better surrounding cast, but, like, he's actually producing. He is producing.
Yes.
Like, he is doing it. It's not like, oh, we're just, like, saying his team is so good and he's got a great coach, great system, and he's just thriving, doing what they're asking him to do. No, he's doing what they're asking him to do, and he's doing more. The Baltimore Ravens all year, all offseason have been – everyone has been saying that the Ravens are the best team in the league from last year. Even at the end, after the Chiefs even won the Super Bowl, everyone's like, the Ravens have the best team, and they still have the best odds after the Chiefs to make the Super Bowl. And at the start of this season, everyone's been saying the Ravens are the most complete team. They have every side of the ball covered.
I'll agree with that statement.
And then what did we see on Monday night? We saw Patrick Mahomes just make them look bad. Like, he made Lamar look bad.
If you look at Lamar's trajectory in terms of, like, his throws, he doesn't know how to put any sort of, like, air on the ball. It's always
he's not an accurate quarterback.
Yeah. But it's always a zippy ball. Andrews, he could have, like, a Russell
Wilson. Laid it out. If he laid it out more for him, he would have gotten under it and made the catch.
Exactly. Russell Wilson would have put that in his lap, right? Patrick Mahomes would have put that in his lap. He would not.
Lamar Jackson is not a medium or deep ball thrower. He's just not good at that.
Exactly. He does check downs, and then they do yards after catch.
And he's got the running and stuff like that.
The issue with the whole Russell Wilson versus Patrick Mahomes debate is this. It's as simple as this. Up until this year, I think we can all agree that Russell Wilson has had pretty much B, sometimes even C class receivers. Okay? Everybody talks about now everybody's talking about the Tyler Lockett and Russell Wilson connection, because now it's, you know, kind of blooming.
Even last year we saw that.
Yeah. But if you look at Andy Reid's career, let's just look at Andy Reid's career, right? Green and the Chiefs, Donovan McNabb and the Eagles, and then now obviously Patrick Mahomes. Donovan McNabb was not some amazing quarterback talent, but when Andy Reid was there, everybody was talking about how Donovan McNabb is some amazing quarterbacking talent, because he had T.O. and he threw for, like, I think 38 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. Andy Reid is the Mike D'Antoni of football. He is an offensive guru who can literally bring out the best out of any player. Now, he has Patrick Mahomes, who's once in a generational talent. I will agree with you. And you couple him with Andy Reid, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get some insane play from the quarterback position.
No one's saying, again, this isn't me saying that Russell Wilson is number two and Patrick Mahomes is the best in the league isn't taking anything away from Russell Wilson.
I'm not saying it.
Like, Russell Wilson right now has 14 touchdowns, is on pace to throw 75 touchdowns. Like, that's unheard of. That never happens.
No quarterback's done that before, by the way. No quarterback's ever done 14 touchdowns.
14 touchdowns. Yeah, this is the most in a 3-week stretch. And exactly. He's got, the Dolphins next week. So, you know, we'll probably have, 20 by day's end.
So, the thing is, I just think that let's not crown him too quick. Talent-wise, I think Patrick Mahomes is right up there with Aaron Rodgers in terms of the most talented quarterback we've ever seen. Because I think a lot of people just kind of forget that Aaron Rodgers, man, before all his injuries, he was doing these things too.
Yeah, and he's also up there in the rankings too.
Absolutely.
You know, the way that he's played this year.
We would be having a completely different conversation right now if Jimmy Garoppolo actually makes a good throw and Emmanuel Sanders catches it for a touchdown. The game would have been.
We would also be having a different conversation if Russell Wilson completed a pass instead of throwing an interception in the Super Bowl. Won't get into that. Thanks. That's all the time that we have for today.
You're going to end on that's the note you're going to end on. Listen, Seattle so much, you better hope Nick Foles saves you from the Mitch Trubisky.
Drafted him and when we made the single worst draft pick in the history of the NFL, that's what hurt the most. That's worse than Jamarcus Russell. Worse than, I don't know, Johnny Manziel. Like, trading three draft picks.
Ryan Leaf is
no, trading player. Three draft picks to move up one spot.
Okay. Try picking Ryan Leaf instead of Peyton Manning.
Try picking Mitch Trubisky over both Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes.
That's true. That is pretty bad. Yeah.
And then on top of that, you traded away three picks. And you screwed yourself in the next two drafts. Like, it's the worst move. It's the worst. All right. Thanks, guys, for joining us. Thank you all for listening. This is Inzankazi on Instagram and Twitter. It's Urban Usman on Instagram and Biryani Thoughts on Twitter.
Biryani.
We'll have this up and running. And
T-H-O-U. HGHTS. Not the Brianna thoughts that you're thinking about, guys.
He's a good boy. He's a good boy. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you next time on 23 is the Mic.
Hey, the water type thing. I'm going to go. I'm going to go.